And I'd like to call the joint special meeting together this May 11th, 2020. Ways and Means Committee and the Legislative Programs, Education and Community Services Committee members. We also have environment represented here, as well as, I believe, public health, because two or three of the resolutions came out of those committees as well. But we just have the chair, a deputy chair of those committees. So with that, could you take attendance, please, Natalie?
Yes. Ways and Means Committee members. Archer.
Here.
Ronk.
Present.
Bartels.
Here.
Guevara.
Present.
Haynes.
Here.
Mayo. Walter.
Here.
And Donaldson.
Aye.
And Legislative Programs members. DeLon.
Here.
Corcoran.
Here.
Criswell.
Here.
Parity. Warrow.
Here.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. This is a difficult meeting. It's easy to grant monies to these organizations that provide a lot to our communities, but when we have a 30 to 40 million budget gap, and we're not even sure if that's truly reflects, you know, what the condition will be down the road here, we really feel that it's critical that we step back and take a look at these programs and what we can afford to do, and what other options do we have. We received a significant number of letters from the community supporting all of these different programs, and we so appreciate it. It's in your package under each organization. Some of the letters came in today. Those may not, but I think they went to all legislators anyway. But it, you know, this is a difficult conversation to have, and we've come up what we think is an option. We want to discuss some criteria. And Jim, is there anything you wanted to add before we go into the criteria?
Only that we recognize that, yes, it is a difficult time. This is a difficult job. And there will be those organizations that aren't funded. And so what legislator Walters and I have done is to reach out to philanthropists and community organizations, foundations, to see if there might be any assistance moving forward as we go through this process. So they want to stay tuned. They want to continue a dialogue. So we aren't saying we don't want to fund these, because they're not, they haven't been doing a good job. They've been doing a great job, and that's why we funded them in the past. But these are difficult times.
Okay, with that, everybody got an email that talked about their criteria. So I'd like to put forth what we came up with for discussion as we go through and look at each of the, I think, 14 or 15 organizations. 15. And the criteria is that given the current health crisis, its impact on our community and budget, does the funding support the most vulnerable of our population through a program no one else is delivering? If yes, discuss, consider funding as originally proposed, or if we have to make an adjustment. And then all others, we would recommend deferring until the fourth quarter, when we have a better sense of whether or not we have the budget to fund or not, and we'll have a better sense of where the county sits in that regard. So I put that on the table for discussion.
Legislator Archer, would it behoove us to just go through one by one, and, you know, 1 through 15? I feel like, rather than having, you know, sort of a stream of consciousness about all of them together, it might just be better to go, you know, we have the list of them. You know, I've sort of got my screen split screened between the two. I don't know what everyone else's thoughts are, but if we just start going through 1 through 15 and perhaps that we could have consensus on five or six at least to start with.
Yes, I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. I really wanted us to zero in, does the criteria make sense, and then go into each of them applying that criteria.
Okay, then, you know, just on whether the criteria makes sense, I think the criteria does make sense that you've laid out. I just want to confirm it's not necessarily if we think it benefits the most vulnerable in the community as a worthy, you know, thing to continue. That's not to say that we would continue all of those fundings at the maximum level that we've already budgeted, right? We could also talk about possibly paring some of that down.
Yes, that's what the criteria says. We can consider funding as originally proposed or less, okay, or defer, and well, the others would be deferred.
I would suggest that there may be other criteria that may be significant that we may want to fund also. I understand what you're pointing out, but I don't think that could be the only criteria. So I think we need to take a look at each one of them individually. I mean, I agree with Legislator Ronk on that one. Let's start looking
at it. Legislator Bartels, then Walter.
But I just have a question through the chairs to Chair Donaldson. In terms of establishing a criteria where we're trying to look at each one from the same criteria. I mean, I think we're going to have individual discussions, but when you're saying there's other criteria that might be important, I think now is the time to talk about the other criteria that might be important, and then we can apply that criteria to each of the organizations.
Well, there may be some type of sustainability dealing with the criteria, like, you know, dealing with, shall we say, an arts organization. You know, if you're cutting it, you know, taking all the money out of there, what happens to that? Does that lose any of the, you know, does it lose everything to the point where there's no really return? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think, you have one criteria, and I think it's an important criteria, but we also have to look at the long-term effects that, you know, may come about by us cutting, you know, totally, you know, cutting an organization to zero. No, I mean, that's, you know, we have to consider that also. So that's why I think there are other criteria. This other one that you have may be one of the most important, but I think there is other criteria.
Then to just respond, why don't we add that to the criteria? The effects of defunding to this, are you saying to the sustainability of the organization or?
Not only the sustainability of the organization, but, you know, it could be even other things dealing with it. In other words, some organizations are funded by the federal government and the state government and us. So does that affect them leveraging money from others? That could be another aspect. I mean, you know, if you cut an organization that uses that to leverage other money, does that mean they're not going to be able to get other money?
Okay, so we have Legislative Walter, Legislator Criswell, and then Legislator DeLon.
So Legislator DeLon and I, as he mentioned, we met with the Dyson Foundation and the Community Foundation today and had these conversations, which, not surprisingly, they're having these conversations. All of these Novo Foundation, they're all having these conversations. There's actually been reports done by nonprofit organizations on what these organizations should be thinking about. And one of the biggest things that we all came up with was this idea of needing metrics to identify these, how these programs, you know, how to support these programs going forward or whether to support them. So working with them, we did come up with a list of questions that I could just, I'll briefly just cover it just so that, you know, I can email it to everybody. A little bit asked, the first one asked about how much of an operating reserve they had as of March 1st to distinguish between those who have stronger previous operation funds, operating funds. Again, with the suggestion that if they had more than 100% of their monthly operating funds, that that meant they had more strength and stability and might be better to fund, not necessarily worse. How they reduced expenditures in the last couple of months, how their revenue expectations have changed, which speaks to what Chair Donaldson spoke to, how they sought to reduce revenue shortfalls, and it gives us a variety of different options. If their mission has changed as a result of this, and if so, how? And also any thoughts of potential collaboration or mergers with other organizations. And so I think that the idea from Community Foundation Dyson and others is to be presenting some of these questions to these organizations and then using the answers to then evaluate funding.
Legislator Criswell?
Yes, I just wonder if you could define for us most vulnerable. As it's one of that criteria, but I don't know if I fully understand what the definition means.
I think it's dependent on the program that we're discussing. Does it help individuals in our community who are at risk as a result of the health crisis?
But are you basing that on socioeconomic, or what does most vulnerable mean?
Jim, do you want to add?
Well, I mean, to me, children was the first thing that came to mind. And that seems to me to be most pressing. But I did want to speak to the fact that I really don't see this as absolutely saying no to an organization. Steve said we want to work with them. And it's really a matter of postponing a decision until we're in a situation where we're better prepared to make these tougher decisions, but everything's an unknown right now. So if we were to postpone our decision-making by 1, 2, 3 months, we might be in a better position to look at some of these organizations that don't make it the first round.
We have a pretty diverse group of organizations here, all having an impact on our community. And I think that when we talk about most vulnerable, we talk about children, we talk about food, we talk about all different elements of that. And I think we've got to look at each program and the impact it has on the community. And with the health crisis, is this something we need today, or can we defer till we have a better sense of where we are from a budgetary perspective? I'm sorry it comes down to the dollars and cents, but that's exactly what it comes down to until we have more information. We're flying blind. We have a governor that says, I'm going to look at, you know, what we've got in the way of state revenue, what we're getting in the way of federal funding, how aspects if COVID will be covered federally or not. There are so many unknowns, and it's unfortunate that we're in this situation, but I think it's responsible for us to, it's our responsibility to really kind of put this on the table, go through the process. And as Jim said, we're not saying no, and we're not saying these are not worthy organizations. We're saying that we have a huge challenge in front of us, and we have to be thoughtful about how we move forward. And that's what I hope we can get done tonight. Okay, so if we apply that, why don't we go then into the first group? Everybody should have this on their OneDrive. The first program I have on the list here is awareness.
I don't have that list, and I don't want to try to grab it. I'll probably get knocked off the Zoom here. What is the amount of that again?
$10,000.
And that's a hands-on thing, isn't it?
I mean, define hands-on.
Well, I mean, it's something that people get together and, you know, it's a program that is...
Not occurring currently,
correct.
Excuse me, they are doing some online meetings. They have
But she's not ordering pizza for them. I'm assuming, unless she's ordering it to other people's houses. I don't know.
Sorry, I'm having some technical difficulty here. Yes, Dave?
Ken wanted to talk.
I'm sorry, I didn't see him. Ken?
That's fine. I mean, you know, to me, you know, I almost think that this would fall into the category of, you know, the most vulnerable in our community under the criterion. But I also think that, you know, one concern that many legislators, myself included, have had about this program over the years is that there's no evidence that the person in charge of the program has made serious attempts to obtain other types of funding, fundraise on her own. You know, she relies almost entirely on county funds every year to do this program. It's one of the reasons that the last several years I've voted against it. You know, I just think that we shouldn't continue to be the sole funding source, especially at a time when our funds are so limited.
Yes, Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. So I think what Legislator Ronk is bringing up, while it's true, I mean, to my knowledge, we're the pretty much a sole source funder for awareness. It's also, we're back to square one, evaluating all these things, not in light of COVID, but in light of the merit of the program and the debates we had during the budget cycle. So, because that's the same argument you made at that time, Legislator Ronk, and why you articulated voting no. So, I mean, I don't know if that's what we're going to do on each one, and maybe we should, maybe we have to, but whether or not she's expanded the program to get outside funding is a different argument than who she is or is not reaching and who the program is or is not reaching in this moment and in this crisis.
And if we look at the scope of services for this group, it's peer-to-peer educational services to youths aged 16 to 25 to encourage youth to recognize positive behavioral changes and to provide positive consequences to help change the youth's behavior with the end goal of positively affecting the youth's future. Yes, Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. Just to respond respectfully to Legislator Bartels' comments, I, while they may be the same comments as I made at the budget time, I think that due to the budget restraints we're going to have from COVID, I think that it relates to both. I think that it's not just from what I said during budget time. You know, I think that a lot of these decisions are going to be budgetary decisions. And, you know, one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is, you know, are we going to give, you know, some of these other organizations, Dave said, you know, some of these organizations use our funding to, you know, parlay it into federal funding, state funding, other philanthropic funding. You know, so any funding that we give would have almost a double benefit to the organization, whereas this organization has time and time and time again not done that and instead come and use the county as almost sole funding for the program.
All right. Legislator Walter, Waro, then Criswell.
So this can end up being a very long meeting, which is fine if it is. But I guess I would suggest perhaps that in along with the criteria of just vulnerable and no one else is doing it is the concept of is there a service that's being provided right now that needs to be provided right now? I would make the argument that this particular program probably is happening at a lower level now. It probably does not need the money that is allotted here as described. They're not doing this for the pizza party. And that if it's not something that's providing a service at this moment, actively, you know, it's not that, that we should, as was discussed earlier, maybe send them a set of other criteria, like the metrics that I proposed, hear from them about how they're handling those things, but that our priority today might be those people who are serving people right now that we need to make sure they can keep doing what they're doing.
So what I'm hearing is, and I think that's a good point to add, are they impacting the audience today? And if not, and it can be deferred, to follow up with those questions for further information and assessment down the road.
But to specify, because I'm sure they're taught still reaching out to these kids, so the answer would technically be yes, but do they need the funding that's in this resolution to still have that impact? I'm sure the coordinator of this still reaches out, but they may not need this funding or this level of funding right now to do that.
Okay. All right. I think we had Legislative Waro, then Criswell. And then okay.
I just wanted to clarify that the Hudson Valley Youth Foundation has supported them with $2,500. Stewart's funded them $1,500. And they had private donors, and they won $676 in a video voting challenge. So they are getting, not to our level, but they are doing some other outside funding.
Legislator Criswell?
I was going to say the same thing. Just looking at their P&L, what we're funding them is half of their income.
Okay. Legislator Heppner?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with what Legislative Walter said. I think this might be the case with a few of these, but especially, you know, a service like this. I don't think we can really establish a position either way without, you know, more understanding of how they're operating in real time during COVID. Because I think, you know, I know it's a little bit more time consuming. I don't know what the best strategy is to reach out to organizations like this to get a plan from them, but I think it's, you know, pretty important in making these tough decisions.
Okay, Legislator Ronk.
All right, thanks. With Legislator Walter's comments and Legislator Heppner's comments following up, perhaps this may be a shorter meeting than any of us anticipated, because if we're going to reach out to a couple of the organizations and have them come in, I think that we should reach out to representatives of each organization, schedule several of these meetings, and have, you know, one meeting to discuss 1 through 5, one meeting to discuss 6 through 10, you know, rather than, because again, you know, not to sound, I don't know if this is going to sound bad or not, but I don't know if we should waste several hours of our time here and our staff's time if then we're going to go back and talk about all of them again with the organizations. Perhaps this meeting should be used to develop a plan on, you know, a couple of meetings to discuss these. I just assumed we were going to go through them and make decisions as, you know, as lawmakers, knowing the programs and knowing what they do and who they serve. But again, you know, if we're planning on inviting a couple of them to come in, I don't think that we should pick and choose. I think we should have all representatives invited from all of the organizations, you know, a few at a time, and go through them like that rather than just chase our tails here this evening.
Legislator Bartels, then Walters.
So I didn't hear anyone talk about them coming in. I heard about reaching out to them with a metric and a series of questions so that we could gather more information and delay decision for those that could be delayed. That's what Legislator DeLon and Walter both said, and Heppner, in terms of getting a couple extra months to get a better sense of where we're at. I think it is important, you know, there are probably some in here that actually need the funds and are operating and, you know, hit all the marks on on the list of our suggestions. I also just want to ask for clarification because someone said that it was $10,000. The Schedule B says $12,500. Does anyone have the number right in front of them?
It's $12,500.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I must have misspoke. It's fine.
Oh, that's okay. I just wasn't sure.
If that was a prior year amount, Ken.
We've funded it several different amounts for an enormous amount of years.
Okay. Legislative Walter.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I agree with Legislative Bartels. That was my intent. I have the feeling there's probably just a small group on this that are actively right now need to know that they're still having funding to do the work they're doing right now. Maybe there's none, but I think it's small. And that for the remainder of them, a metric. Although I'm open for a metric to all, not necessarily having them here, but reviewing how they answer these questions. But I wouldn't want to, if there are some organizations on here that really right now are delivering really important care that cannot stop right now, I think we should just make sure to recognize those.
Okay, and Legislator Waro?
Never mind. Thank you.
I apologize. I should just let you know I'm up and down. I have a sick puppy dog. So when she go out, I have to let her out. So I apologize for the distraction. Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. Just to Legislator Walter's point about the organizations that might need the money now or are currently operating. Natalie, do you happen to know offhand how many of the organizations get upfront funding or bill quarterly? Because most of them are reimbursement, aren't they?
A lot of them are. Hang on, let me pull up the list so I can look at it. I know awareness is supposed to get several thousand dollars upfront. However, it didn't, not upfront. That is all reimbursed, but she's supposed to get several thousand pretty much right away once it's executed and the remainder later in the year. Walker Valley is reimbursement. I believe Soil and Water is quarterly. Arcal is reimbursement. DNH is reimbursement. Maritime's reimbursement. People's Place is reimbursement.
Just to clarify while you're doing that, Natalie, I was referring to peace of mind as opposed to actual dollars. That these organizations are very anxious right now. And so I was not referring to handing them a check.
Okay, then in my confusion, we can stop this. I just, I think all the organizations would like the peace of mind that they're going to get county funding. That's why I think that, saying things like, we need to give some of these organizations peace of mind, making that arbitrary decision, if we're going to be, I thought that we were going to be bringing them in for them to talk about it, but if they're just going to be answering a bunch of questions for us, I think that it would behoove us to have all of them ask the same questions, all of them answer the same, or given the opportunity to answer the same questions, because I would be willing to bet that there's one legislator on this body that thinks that every one of these organizations is worthy of getting the funding. At least one for every organization is what I'm saying. So I think that being arbitrary about which ones we want to try and, figure out right away and then which ones we want to put off, I just think that that's a poor way to do business.
Well, hello?
Heidi's got her hand up, Lynn, if you can't see it.
I didn't see it. Heidi? Sorry,
that's okay. I think it's an important question that we ask when we say, when we're asking, when do they normally get their first payment? We're looking to be in the strongest financial position that we can so we can weather this financial crisis. And I'd hate to take a program off of the table if 2-3 months from now we could possibly fund them. So when is it that they technically would get their first payment or I would hate to, like I said, remove someone knowing that, we'd have to see what it looks like 2-3 months down the road from now even. And I don't know why we're not looking at doing a straight across the board percentage of a reduction in some of these funding requests either. I just think that that's a logical thing to do as well.
Well, for every legislator, clearly we have a different set of opinions. I think it's, I mean, that was the whole point of putting criteria out there. I've heard several different takes on what the criteria should be. At this juncture, I mean, some of these folks don't get payments until third, fourth quarter anyway. Is that not correct, Natalie, with a few exceptions?
That's correct. I can tell you I've already received invoices from Family of Woodstock and Community Action. However, even if we weren't in the crisis that we're in right now, they wouldn't be paid yet because their contracts still wouldn't be executed. However, they would be receiving money, you know, shortly if we weren't in this mess that we're in right now. A lot of them would be the end of the year, though, once they've spent their money, sent in all their receipts, and we've gone through everything.
I mean, again, they're all worthy organizations, but at this juncture, even a reduction is something I don't know that we can afford to do right now till we have a sense. I mean, we could make the decision that nobody gets in it and we review everyone at the end of the year. And so if we're going to talk about, you know, treating all of them fairly, I just put that out there, that until we have a better sense of the condition of the county, given the crisis, that we don't fund any of these programs. And we take the time to use the questions that were put forth to follow up and then down the road, take a look at all of them. Legislator Ronk.
Thanks, Legislator Archer. I actually agree wholeheartedly with your suggestion just now as a talking point. I think that, you know, maybe not to the end of the year, but I would think maybe to the third quarter, where we'll be having a more accurate understanding of where our our finances are. I do think that all the organizations, however we decide to handle it, whether it be, as Legislator Haynes said, across the board cut to some of them, or, you know, I just think that, you know, the more arbitrary and capricious we get with how we treat these organizations, I think that the worst product we get for the taxpayers. I think that they should all be treated equally, at least in the criterion that we look at to determine funding and the manner by which we fund them. I don't think that we should fund some now and some in 3 months and some in 6 months. I think that if we determine that we have funding, that it should be done at the same time.
Chair Donaldson?
Well, I am never someone that supports across the board cuts because I don't think that they're effective. You need to, you need to look at each individual. I mean, I can say that you can try to get a 10%, but, you know, there's got to be exceptions to the rule. And we can't actually consider them all equally. I mean, if somebody is making sure people are getting fed and clothed on their backs, they're being able to see their children because of the program that's being there, I believe that they should not be looked at the same as the other programs. I mean, there's some of these groups that are, you know, they're out, you know, handing food out and handing clothing out, doing things of that nature. I mean, do you turn around and tell them, well, you know, we're not sure we're going to fund you and we'll come back in December? I mean, they'll just run out of the money, that's all. I mean, that's my concern. I really think we need to look at things individually. I mean, if we know exactly what ones are not getting the money yet or do not collect it yet, that may help. But, I mean, I'm still thinking you need to look at things individually.
Legislative Wara.
Hi. I don't believe it's in the packet, but Cornell Cooperative is asking to be taken off. They found other ways to fund it, and they wanted to contribute to being helpful.
Well, but they're just taking off the added money that we get.
Yes, just the added money, the $12,500.
They said they would take that out.
Yes.
But then again, they are also a group that leverages money from the money that we give them.
Correct, but this particular money, that he said that they're totally okay and wanted to do their share.
Okay, and Legislator Criswell.
Yeah, I'm just concerned that if we decide to not fund any of these organizations right now and really just push the ball way down the line, that it's going to have different effects for different organizations. So I'm sort of mirroring what Legislator Bartel said. I really think we need to look at them individually and find out what this funding is in their budget and how critical it is at this moment.
And do we feel, Natalie, do we feel we have that information, that what portion of their budget is our funding?
I'd have to look. I know that last September-ish, we did ask for their upcoming budget. I don't recall exactly who had it and who didn't.
Legislator Walter?
So just back on the list of questions that we came up with, I mean, I think that if we wanted to pause and provide these questions or an adapted version, it will allow us to understand, because I think there's a lot of changes. Like, there are programs that might be reconsidering the services they're going to be doing. They may be changing their mission. They may be merging with others. They may have found other funding. There's a lot of things that are going on with these organizations that we have no idea about. And, you know, the whole idea of these questions is really to get at this. And also, to find out what they're really doing for themselves. Are they reaching out to their own donors? Are they doing other things to ensure their own stability beyond the county or beyond whatever else? And so the idea is to really, you know, the intent of these questions is to try to get a better sense of where these organizations are at. We may find that some of them have completely changed their mission, and it might be more of something we want to support or less of something we want to support. So I, again, advocate for applying these metrics, getting the answers from them, and then regrouping and reviewing it. I don't know if we necessarily have to meet with each of them, but at least how they answer these questions.
Legislator Parity.
Yes, good evening. I'm working. That's why I wasn't here, and I won't be long. But I always wonder when we talk about these things, what's the matrix for who we should fund and who we shouldn't fund? On 1 to 10, if the ones are organizations that help in a humanitarian way, people's health, people's nourishment, people's mental situation, their housing, versus at the other end, number 10, maybe that are very important but make us feel good. Now, how can we get this? You know, I have to vent for a minute, because last week I spoke a little bit about UPAC. And next thing you know, there was a letter from this guy, Silva, who's running it, and I'll tell you where I got my information. For instance, he says, we do not have 100 employees. We have 21 employees. I said they had 200 to 300. Well, there's a form 990 that I go to for years when I want to find out something. And lo and behold, online, it talks about the number of employees reported, 252. All the information you need on these non-for-profits are in these folders. The same guy, Silva, I don't make $130,000 or $120,000 a year. I make well under $100,000. Well, lo and behold, he makes $69,154. You can write it down. $29,591 from another outfit involved in UPAC and the arts, and $19,176 comes up near to $120,000. The guy lies. But what's the matrix? Is he important?
Well, you know, excuse me.
Or is he important for? So I'm saying we have 20 funded agencies. What's the matrix? Where do you get the information from them? How do you know how stable they are? And can they raise the money on their own? Most of us don't know that. So I in this day and age, when you're looking at the sheriff's worried about losing people, the controllers wanting to lay people off, I got an obligation to the people that work for the county and the people that are constituents and make these outfits justify why we're giving them money.
Okay, Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think what we're trying to do is to figure out what the metric is. I just want to say and be on the record saying I have concerns about attacking a member of the public without that person here being able to defend themselves. I mean, some of those words were fairly harsh, and I know there's a lot of emotion here, but I think we just have to be careful about how we speak about people who aren't here to defend themselves.
I got the letter from him saying I lied. He lied.
Let's not go there, please.
Yeah. Again, I'm just going
to... everything we're going to do is to get to the bottom of how we're going to decision funding, and I don't think it's beneficial to attack. If there's some concerns, I'd love to have the conversation with you offline, but this isn't the forum to attack.
Okay, let's get the metric then.
No, that's exactly the metrics that Legislator Walter put forth. I think it was part of a conversation with Dyson and some of the other and Community Foundation, and I think it's worthwhile.
Can I just add one more thought? And that's, I had another thought to add to the metric that Legislator Walter read earlier, and that would be to ask what percent of each organization's total annual revenue does our contribution represent. It kind of goes back to what Legislator Runk was talking about earlier with one organization, but I'd like to know on each one what percent of their annual revenue our contribution represents. I think you hit on a really important one in terms of the reserve, and it was an interesting point that it might be one that would make us more likely to fund a robust one rather than what you might think less likely. But I would want to add that question, please.
And I will say again, that's what is on that not-for-profit IRS form. Everything you just asked for.
Okay, so we have a couple of things out here. Is there agreement by this group that we want to reach out to the 15 organizations with the questions, some of which were suggested tonight? We can put it together, get it out to everyone for a review, and then do a follow-up, maybe break down, maybe meet with some of the groups. But let's do it in a timely fashion because we've held this up for some time now. Yes, Legislator Gavaris.
So hearing what Legislator Parody was saying, I think what he's referring to when he said the matrix, and he just stepped away, unfortunately, otherwise I'd ask him, is he referring to a decision matrix where you list your questions, you give them a scoring, if it's 1 to 10, 1 to 5, whatever it is, and then you tally it up, and then you base it on weighted score, and we would individually, because some of these questions are going to be subjective, some of them are objective, but you have at least a direction to go in, because we're going to go round and round on this. We're all going to have disagreements. We're going to, the validity of some of these organizations, so if you have something that is number-driven, where you have a score, you can bicker back and forth a little bit on the score, but the score is tallied and it's a collective score from all of us.
Legislator Ronk, did I see your hand up? You're on mute.
It's good enough because I put my hand back down. Everything's fine.
Okay. All right. So here's what I would say. Let's take, I believe the metrics, what Eve was referring to was very specific information, financial information as it relates to the organization, how well funded, you know, what programs are they doing? And, you know, we can add the criteria. Are they addressing any COVID related issues today? Some of these programs aren't even active now, given the pause New York, and will they be? So it gives everybody a chance to step back, regroup, look at what the impact of COVID has had on their organizations and how they're going to maybe tackle it differently. And so why don't we do this? Let's put the questions, get them out to everyone, get feedback from everyone, and then come back with next steps so that at least we're making informed decisions with information, similar information across the organizations, and so that we can do this in a timely fashion. Does that make sense to everyone? Okay. Chair Donaldson?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, but I do, in other words, when we're looking at things, we have to understand that each and every one of these organizations are different in the way they not only get outside funding, it's different about their reserves. It's different, like some, Family of Woodstock, shall we say. I mean, how much funding that they get from us is a great deal, but it's all different programs. So each one of the programs are what you're kind of looking at. And then you have Community Action that gets funding from the federal and state government and does all kinds of programs in different areas. And then they use our money for specific things to enhance in our area. Like, for instance, they do Head Start and things of that nature that are not running, but we are not funding that. We're funding more of the food pantry type of stuff. So it could be confusing sometimes when you get the information. So I want to make sure that people understand that when you're getting it, nothing catches all. So matrices are wonderful, but they often have cracks.
Okay, anyone else? Legislator Rung.
Should we set a deadline of some sort for legislators from either of these committees, or I'm sure that some of us are going to go back and talk to our caucus. I'm sure Jonathan's going to. I plan to. Should we set a deadline for, questions or information that we would like to look for, be submitted to Natalie?
Yeah, we'll start with the questions. Tracy had a question or two. Eve brought some forth. Let's put the straw man out, send it out, and we can do that immediately. You can talk to your caucuses this week, give us any other feedback or any other questions that we may want to add, and then from there we can schedule the next meeting and where we go from this. Does that make
works
sense?
For me. Our caucus isn't until Thursday, just so you know.
Right. Right. So we'll, at some point this week, we'll get everybody's feedback by the end of the week, if that's reasonable. And then from there, we can figure out next steps and how we move forward. I've seen heads nodding, so I'm assuming everybody's in agreement there. Legislator DeLon?
I guess just my overall concern is that this is only the beginning of what is going to be a very difficult budget process for us, and that we are going to have to make some tough decisions. And yes, we're going to put this off and we're going to do a matrix and we're going to look at these organizations, but ultimately, like I say, there's some very tough decisions that we're going to have to make very soon.
I concur. Okay. Anybody else have anything else they'd like to add? Chair Donaldson?
Just so you know, this is also a very small piece of the budget.
But it sets the tone for what is happening as we move forward. If we're going to be questioning every transaction, we have to start with our own. And I think that's really important, as tough as this is.
But I mean, I think we could easily, if we wanted to fit the executive's agenda, we could easily get 10% out of all this. From them, from that setup. I mean, if that's the goal, if the goal is more than that, if the goal is, to get his 40% or more or even more or whatever, then that's fine too. But I mean, I think we could easily get the 10% out of this. But like I said, it's not a very large part of the budget. But yet it is a very large amount of the budget of some of these organizations. Mm-hmm.
Legislator Ron?
Thanks. Just to follow up on Legislator Donaldson's point, I understand that the county executive has put out, a request to the departments to come up with 10% savings. I don't think that 10% is going to do it. I think 10% is the beginning. I think that we're facing well more than a 10% budget gap as the county comptroller, as well as the county's budget director and finance commissioner, have pointed out. So I don't think our goal should be 10%. I think that our goal should be to look at each one of these organizations and decide what we think we should fund this year and what we don't think that we should fund this year. Even if that comes to 50 or 60% of this, because this is not our entire budget. And B, you know, I think that, you know, when I go back to, you know, when I go back to my constituents who may end up losing their house to tax foreclosure, I have to be able to look them in the eye and say that the funding that we use their tax dollars for was important enough that I can justify that. You know, there are several organizations on here that I could not look somebody in the eye and say, we needed to make that funding. I'm sorry you're losing your house. So that's where I'm coming from on this. Regardless of what anybody else does, I think that our, you know, getting our house in order is the most important thing primarily right now.
Okay. Any other comments? All right. I think we have a plan forward. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Chair Donaldson. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate all your feedback. This is a difficult process. Thank you very much.
Thanks.